Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Hello and welcome to this Monday postcast. I'm Maddie Pleil, joined in the studio by Nick Watts. We have Paul Binfield from Paddy Power on the line, and Tom Siegel has joined us once again. It's like getting the band back together, I feel, like the originals, you know. I'm delighted to have you all on board anyway. We're going to look back on the 2 days from the November meeting. Two, not the three, due to the Friday not going ahead due to the weather. And, of course, plenty of good Irish action too. Punchestown provided us with plenty of brilliant performances. Lots of Cheltenham clues on display, both this side and the other side, the Irish Sea. And we'll also be looking at some of the good rating on later this week, later in the show as well. So let's get started then, guys. First off, we better start with the feature on Saturday, which was the BetVictor Gold Cup, won by Happy Diva, who was pretty unlucky last year when being brought down. Really consistent and admirable mare, Watsy, one of my favourites, as I'm sure you'll know. Could you have seen her winning the race beforehand?
Yeah, I could see her running very well in it because she was doing exactly the same last year when she was unlucky in the same race, and she's very consistent. She had her ground, and Kerry Lee's a bit of a similar trainer to Venetia Williams, isn't it? You know, when the going gets tough and the going's on the soft side, Kerry Lee horses seem to come to the fore. So, no, I wasn't surprised at all. I was just surprised by the SP. I thought there might have been a bit more love for her in the betting beforehand. She went off a very generous price, I thought. That said, Slate House looked as though he was coming with a winning challenge. And, you know, you often talk about winning rides being the best ones, but the way Robbie Power smuggled Slate House into that race, despite him not jumping particularly well all the way round, I thought it was an exceptional feat to even get him to challenge. And the ironic thing is that his best jump of the race probably came at the second last of the fence he fell at, because he took off perfectly, he cleared it perfectly, he just crumpled on landing, which was most unfortunate. Whether he would have won or not, I'm not completely convinced about that, but he was certainly in there fighting. And for Robbie Power to have even got him close, bearing in mind the way he went round before then, was admirable, and, you know, showed a jockey at the top of his game. He was just unfortunate, didn't work out for him on that time.
Precisely, yeah. He's certainly riding at the peak of his powers. Got lots of good ammunition, Robbie Power. Tom, your opinion on Happy Diva and Slate House, because he was the big sort of talking point for many when coming down two out.
I'm with Watsy. I wasn't sure he was going to win. I think he probably would have won, but I wasn't sure about that. These Cheltenham races, Maddie and Nick, I don't know what you think about them, but they're so much dependent on, you know, I tend to look at a race looking for a horse that might get better and might be better than their handicap mark. But quite a few of these Cheltenham races go to horses with experience and course form. They're really, really different from most handicaps. You got 20 runners, bad ground, twisty, turny track. It's all about rhythm, you know, and horses that can handle the sort of the way these races go. I think we see it year in, year out, that people like me trying to be a clever boy and try and find the sort of unexposed one with 10 pounds in hand, which I did on Saturday with Bellamy Day Picton, never got in the race. These horses can't get in the race. And, you know, looking back, maybe we need to start thinking about that as a big factor for these sort of Cheltenham handicaps, sort of, you know, just being able to handle the way the races go, because it was carnage again, wasn't it? I think it was only six or seven finishes again, and there were fallers here, hampered there, all over the place. And horse like Happy Diva, as we saw many, many times, there's no problems with the hustler bustler races like this. And maybe, you know, instead of looking at the weights and measures, saying she's highest ever mark, she couldn't win, you know, she's had plenty of chances and not won one, we should be thinking more in terms of what type of horse is going to perform. Yeah. Because Braylandar was the same. He'd been third in a grand annual. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, rather than looking for the riderless last time.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Rather than trying to find the one that might do it, we've got the evidence there that these horses can do it. So maybe, and they're bigger prices anyway, aren't they? I mean, they're 14 and 20 to 1, as Watsy said, rather than, you know, getting stuck into the 4 to 1 Slate's House or the 10 to 1 Bellamy de Pictons that have to prove they can do it.
Yeah. Do you think as well? I mean, I looked at this race beforehand and I thought there wasn't a bonkers one that looked you in the face and you thought, this is really well in. It's almost like these races, the weight doesn't matter as much anymore. Would that be a fair comment?
I've never been a great weight man anyway, so I've always tried to find the best horse. The problem is, as I was saying there, I always sometimes think the best horse is the one that hasn't proven it yet. But in these races, especially at Cheltenham, I think, where it's all about rhythm and jumping and being able to act under the circumstances that are going, maybe I should be, you know, what did we see in the Grand Anna last year? That 100 to 1 shot, Croco Bay or whatever it was called. Yeah. Done it hundreds of times, 12-year-old, but he could do it because he knew what, you know, he'd handled the circumstances before. And I sometimes get, I think I'm guilty of getting sucked into sort of the sexy ones is what they used to call them. You know what I mean? Rather than looking at the more solid ones. And Happy Diva fitted the bill perfectly.
Yeah. You mentioned Bellamy de Picton. I must admit, I backed him as well. And I thought, considering he all but got brought down at the first fence, or I don't know when it was, by Eamon Annock, I thought he ran a really good race, but probably needs 3 miles now. So he'd be sort of one to take out of it from me. What's the any horse that you thought ran particularly well in behind?
Well, Warthog ran a nice race on his return. Again, he's one, if you look back at last season, you could have given him an each way squeak, and he's run a really bold race. But you know, that aside, yeah, Warthog, Slate House, you know, probably if we get similar ground to in the big handicap next month at Cheltenham's meeting, he might go back there and might get some recompense. But you know, as we've seen already, he's been found by the market, and the way he ran on Saturday, you're not going to get much more mileage in his price, you know, if he goes for something similar next time.
Exactly. Binners, welcome to the show. We've not managed to catch up with you so far.
Good afternoon.
The next logical target for a lot of these is going to be the Caspian Caviar Gold Cup. Have you got a price on Happy Diva for that?
Yeah, we put her in at 8-1, Maddie. It was brilliant to be at Cheltenham on Saturday, seeing all the pilgrims return to the home of National Hunt jumps racing after a disappointing day on Friday. And I'm very pleased for the Lees. I'm pleased to say I once enjoyed a barbecue at Richard and Carol Lees, and they put on a good show. So Happy Diva gained recompense for last year, and she's 8-1 for the Caspian Caviar.
I wish I got invited to these barbecues. Anyway, we'll move on. We spoke about Robbie Power earlier, and he was at his very best when guiding West Approach to victory. I think it was his 16th attempt at Cheltenham. And Tom, what can I say? He's Thistlecrack's brother. He's got the ability.
Yeah, he was good. It was a bad race, wasn't it? And let's be honest, it was a bad race that. I thought once Ramsay's Detay sort of floundered a bit, I don't know what happened there. I don't think it took much winning.
What would you do with him now, West Approach?
I'd run him in the Ladbrokes Trophy if he's in it. I'm not sure he is, but that's the race I'd go for. I think he's in it. You know, he's very, very similar to last year's winner. Remember, Watsy? We all sat here thinking, who's that one that won at a big price last year?
Oh, Sizing Tennessee.
Yeah. He is in it. He's a 14-1 shot. That's where I'd go. I think his confidence is up. You could ride him the same way, and I think he'd be in the four, definitely.
Yeah, okay. Anything to add on West Approach?
No, he's one of those horses I don't mind taking a chance on because he's got the ability there. He's got it in the tank and, you know, he has to be ridden perfectly and things have to fall right for him. But I'd rather, you know, take a chance on a horse like that that's got it in him to win a, you know, decent pot than one that maybe hasn't. You know, so, yeah, I'd be interested in him at decent prices in all these big handicaps this season because, you know, it's a very good chance for him at least grabbing a place.
Yeah.
And possibly if the cards fall right for him, you know, hitting the top spot. So, yeah, I could see him running really well in something like a Ladbrokes Trophy, yeah.
Yeah. I'm preparing to eat my words here, but Holstone was another one of the winners on Saturday. And, Tom, I'm not quite convinced that we've seen the RSA winner in Britain just yet. What did you think of the race that he won?
Look, he's a good, solid horse, isn't he? But I'd be surprised. Look, if it was very soft come Cheltenham and for the RSA day, he has to be in there, doesn't he? Because he likes that sort of ground. He's been placed. Has he been placed? I think he's been placed in a stayer's hurdle in his life. He's got, you know, he jumps pretty well, you know, but he's a Twiston Davis horse that will get there in great form.
I just don't like the way he stays out 3 miles. I mean,
that is the question with him, isn't it? I know he's been, I should have said that when I was talking about it there. The one thing about him, despite being placed in a stayer's hurdle, I'm not actually convinced he's a massive stayer. You're right. Once again, I'd sort of go back to the West Approach thing. I don't think it was I think what you were saying in your intro there is spot on. I don't think it was a brilliant race. I thought Rock Point ran a really interesting race for the future. He is Santini's brother, believe it or not. so these Colin Tizard horses, you know, they're all very well bred. I thought he was an interesting one for a national one day.
Four miler,
and then maybe a Scottish national or a Grand National or something like that in the future. I thought he stayed on really well. Him, I was a little bit surprised because I wasn't expecting that from him. I didn't think he was quite up to getting as close to Holstone as he did. So it's provided the handicapper doesn't smash him, I'd be interested in him at the back end of the season in one of those races. Yeah,
I thought so too. What's he? Any thoughts on Holstone?
Yeah, it's funny. I thought exactly the same as you. And halfway up the running, I thought there was a moment where he just kind of got really tired, and I thought I could see something finishing here and just coming to do him. But, you know, fair enough, he has seen it out really well. And I've always had him down in kind of my mind as a 2.5 miler.
Yeah.
Probably just about sees out 3 miles, but maybe not quite. But no, hats off to him. He saw it out well there. And, you know, he's solid. He's not, he doesn't kind of give you a wow factor or anything like that. But sometimes, you know, these solid ones, as we spoke about a minute ago, are the ones you need rather than a flashy one. So, I certainly wouldn't rule him out. And, you know, if he does go to the RSA in March, I'm sure unless he does something exceptional between now and then, you get a decent price about him. And, you know, there's probably a good chance of him at least finishing in the first three.
Yeah. Okay. I'd say Saturday as well was also a day for sort of not lesser jockeys, but not so much in the spotlight. We had David Maxwell winning and Sam Lee as well. Good to see those jockeys getting their moment in the sun. And even, I mean, I was there yesterday and there was pony racing, and you could see how much it meant to get these victories at Cheltenham.
Well, it's great for David Maxwell. I mean, you know, I think he's 41 years of age and, you know, fair play to him. In days gone by, he didn't always look the most stylish, but I think his riding has improved enormously.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's brave of Philip Hobbs as well. You'd go for a big Saturday race with a horse like that, and it'd be easy for Philip to say, well, OK, David, you know, you've had a good spin on him in his previous races.
You reckon surely he'll give him the... He pays the money, takes his... You know, he's probably saying, look, Philip, you got the horse, I ride it, pal.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously the way it works. All I'm saying is that, you know, you could easily envisage a situation where David Maxwell rides him maybe in his warm-up races, and then if it's a big pop like it was on Saturday, Richard Johnson or somebody like that comes in and rides. But so I think it's ballsy of Hobbs to let him, you know, to let him do it.
Yeah.
But David Maxwell has earned this chance by riding very, very well. And he obviously gets on great with this Jatalui. I think he's unbeaten since he's come over. He pours huge amounts of money into the game. And, you know, he's really, really worked on his riding.
Yeah.
And I think it shows in his races. And he rode a very nice race because I think the horse isn't easy. He got loose before his previous start at Wetherby and still came back and won. He pulled quite hard on Saturday, but still had enough in the tank to go on and score. So, listen, you know, top marks for David Maxwell from me. I think, you know, he's no handicap in the saddle at all.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's really admirable how, as much as he's ploughed a lot of money into the game, he absolutely loves it. I thought it was an excellent winning interview, and his riding, like you say, has come on leaps and bounds. So well done to him. Binners, before we move on, let's just get some prices. I mean, Tom mentioned West Approach for the Ladbroke Trophy and Holstone for the RSA. What prices can we get about those?
Well, actually, I think that Colin Tizard was suggesting that West Approach might be more of a Welsh Grand National horse, Maddie,
yeah,
rather than the Ladbrokes Trophy. And we've inserted him into the Welsh National betting this morning, this afternoon at 20-1. As far as Holstone goes, yeah, yourself and Watsy seem to think that he might be more of a 2.5 miler. And our odds compilers agreed immediately after the race. We threw him into the JLT Novices Chase at 20-1, which could... But one thing about Saturday, Max McNeil and Greg Stone, there was a huge smile on their face when Holstone won because it franked the Mulcahy's Hill form from the last meeting. So I look forward to seeing that horse when it runs next.
Yeah, well mentioned, Binners. Let's move on to Sunday then and the Schlur Chase, just the four runners, but served up a thrilling race. I think they're all in with a shout with two to go. And Defi Desoy came out on top, Tom. Do you see him as a champion chase contender, or do you think they're better off going for the Ryanair?
100% bona fide champion chase contender, yes. I think he was the star of the 2 days, undoubtedly. I think he's just a really, really, really top horse. And I think if Altior isn't, I think he's better than anything Altior raced against last year. And I think he'd give him a real good race. And look, there's obviously a chance he'll go for the 2.5 mile of the Ryanair, isn't there? That's what the trip he won over last year. But I'm looking back at the JLT last year, Maddie, and probably was the last time I was on, we were talking about the JLT. And I think we all said at the time that it wasn't a great race. It's a bit, you know, this, that and the other. Defi Desoy and Lustre in Translation, they're about the same. They weren't even favourite for the Silly Isles, believe it or not. On the Blind Side was favourite to beat them both in the Silly Isles Novice Chase. And we're sort of downplaying it. And since then, everything that's run in the JLT has come out and won. And won big racing. Vindication, Real Steel, Voix de Rêve. Kildasart, they've all come out and won big races. It's just red hot form, and I think Defi Desoy is a brilliant horse. I was so impressed with the way he sprints up that hill, and I think he's a danger to anything.
Yeah.
Over any trip, really.
Yeah, I totally agree, Watsy. I'd have him in the champion chase. I think they mentioned the Tingle Creek next, which would indicate they're sort of leaning towards that way. Tom's already mentioned he's got great Sandown form. Just a really bonny little horse, and I thought he'd jump maybe slightly more carefully than some of the others, but you'd expect that first time out for a little horse. He's just got such an engine, hasn't he?
Yeah, no, love the horse, and I don't see any good reason why they won't go for the champion chase. If you've got the choice of both, I think you'd rather win a champion chase than Ryanair. I was slightly surprised last season they didn't go down the Arkell route. I thought we could have won that race easily. They decided to stick with the longer route, and it paid off, obviously, because he won. But arguably, a fast run 2 miles might even suit him better. And, you know, you look back at the history of champion chase winners, most of those horses stay 2.5 miles, no problem at all. So coming back in trip, obviously no issue for him at all. I'm very, very interested. I know Shaquan Paul Soir put him in his place at Punchestown right at the end of last season. But, you know, I'd always have a bit of trepidation about trusting form at that stage of the season too much because Defi de Sol, you know, obviously had been through the rigours of, you know, going to the Cheltenham Festival, etc., and having a full season. Might possibly just been a little bit over the top by then. So, yes, very much at the top of my radar for the champion chase. If I were connections, I wouldn't even dream of sending him to the Ryanair and trying to stretch him out. Why not try and win a champion chase? He's definitely capable of doing it.
Yeah, I must admit, after he won yesterday, someone told me he was still 14-1 for the champion chase. I thought that was an absolutely bonkers price. I really do fancy him for that if he goes that way, Binners. So what price is he now?
Well, if you could have got 14-1, Maddie, you should have steamed in. We went 7 from 12 for the same race immediately afterwards, and he has also usurped Earn de Sceaux as favourite for the Tingle Creek Chase at Sandown next month. And Defi de Sceaux now heads to market at 15-8, Earn de Sceaux on 2-1. And Politolog, who he beat on this weekend, has gone out to 5-1 from 4-1. But so the Tingle Creek could be an absolute cracker if all of those turn up.
Yeah, we hope they do. And the other big race yesterday was the Great Wood Hurdle, and Harambe got up under Tom Bellamere. A big moment for him now that Wayne Hutchinson's exited the scene. He's riding a lot of Alan King's best horses, and this horse was a decent novice last season, Tom, and he clearly came on a lot from his run in the Persian War.
Yeah, good strong stare, wasn't he? Once probably not the best Great Wood we've ever seen, but we keep saying that. And these horses, we don't actually know that. As I was saying before, we were talking about the JL2 being rubbish at this in March last year, and look what's happened since then. So yeah, he's a really good strong stare, isn't he? Did really well. Another good ride. I thought, you know, going back to the whole meeting as a general, I thought Philip Hobbs had a fantastic week. I thought Gumball ran another great race here. I mean, he'd be very interesting in a county hurdle on good ground for me. I think the ground was too soft for him. Didn't even mention Time Hill, did we?
I was about to get to him, yeah.
We didn't, you know, and, you know, talking about that novice that I'll never pronounce that David Maxwell rode, Time Hill's same course and distance, 9 seconds quicker, you know. So Time Hill is a proper Cheltenham prospect for me. He could even go 3 miles. Could even go to the Albert Bartlett. So, you know, one of the things I took out of the meeting was just what a great time Philip Hobbs had, and plenty of his you could put in the tracker, that's for sure.
Okay, that's interesting. Time Hill and Harambe, what do you think of their performances?
Yeah, I love Time Hill. I mean, the form of that Cheltenham bumper from last season working out fantastically well. Envoy Allen.
Lusari,
he had Abracadabras in fourth, we had the Glancing Queen in fifth, he went on to win at Aintree. It's all there, and Time Hill was right in the mix in that race. And, you know, to go for the Persian War and then this, you know, first two starts, that's quite bold from Philip Hobbs. He's done it before with Fingal Bay, I think, a few years ago. So, but again, he didn't, you know, pitch him into an easier race to begin with, straight in there, straight at the top. And he's come up trumps, and he just presents one of those annoying festival dilemmas, unfortunately, if you want to get stuck into him anti-post, because like Tom said, he could go for the Ballymore. I'm sure he'll stay 3 miles, so he could easily go for the Albert Bartlett, and it's a guessing game as to which one he goes for, so couldn't really bet him for anything at Cheltenham. Just want to take out the Great Wood, which I think has got a big race into it at some stage. Croix de Neuf travelled really well for a long way, and he's a very inexperienced horse. He was running over 2.5 miles for most of last season. But I just thought the way he travelled, he was really quite impressive.
He's going to win at one stage.
I thought he was going to win. Maybe he travelled a bit too well in the ground, to be honest, and he didn't quite finish out his race. But he's a very young horse who's lightly raced, and I think he'll have a good pot in him somewhere this season.
Yeah, OK, brilliant. Binners, any prices on Time Hill and Harambe?
Yeah, Time Hill certainly, Maddie. Richard Johnson did a lovely feature with Graham Dench in your newspaper a couple of weeks ago and was bigging up Time Hill. He didn't let him down. Looks like he's going to go for the Challow Hurdle now, and he is a 12-1 chance from 20 for the Ballymore Novices Hurdle at Cheltenham. No prices on Arambe. Maddie, not sure what he's going to do. Not sure he'll be up to champion hurdle class, but well done to Alan King, who won the same race with Elgin a couple of years ago and said they've aimed him at the Greatwood Hurdle, which is a big prize for quite a while. Shame about Benny's Bridge. My friend Des Finn, who I played cricket with 20 years ago, is a part owner in that one, and he disappointed completely, but I'm sure he'll be back one day.
I'm sure he will. We've mentioned the RSA picture. Let's quickly give a mention to the Arkle sort of layout and how that race is developing. Anti-Post put the kettle on, sprang an upset in that Arkle trial. Maybe more pertinent Arkle clues happened in Ireland. What did you think of the mare's performance, Tom? Because I thought she produced a really likeable run, but I'm not sure Getaway Trump and Al Dancer are as good as maybe a lot of people thought they were.
Yeah, that's probably right, isn't it? I mean, I think the British novice hurdlers from last year, bar Champ, were a pretty moderate bunch, judging by the Cheltenham results and what happened afterwards. And I'm not convinced we're going to have any chance of winning the Arkle unless something comes from the goodware, from out the woodwork. I mean, Put the Kettle On is nice. Did jump well, didn't she? Did everything right, but I can't believe she's going to win an Arkle for me. And so for Al Dancer and Getaway Trump to get put in their place was a little bit disappointing. I think Getaway Champ probably has some excuses. He obviously made that terrible mistake.
Yeah.
Drifted very badly in the market. I don't know if something might have been up with him. I have no idea, but he went from 6-4 out to 11-4 or something ridiculous. I couldn't believe it when I was watching the market. And maybe he's worth another try, especially when the ground gets a bit better. But as an Arkle trial, I doubt it. I doubt any of those will be troubling the judge.
Yeah, I agree. Let's move on to Punchestown then. And a big story to start us off. I think many people enjoyed this. It was probably the highlight of the weekend for me. And that was Faheen winning on his novice chase at Bow. Wasn't without mistakes, Watsy, but it was great to see the engine sort of purring at the end. But I know you've not particularly been in total agreement with the fact that they've sent him chasing.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be a universally popular opinion, and I was, you know, as delighted as anyone to see him come home safe and win the race. I just don't think there's much upside to sending a horse chasing, you know, a few weeks short of his 12th birthday. And I'd say that for any horse, not just for Faheen. I'd say it for any horse in training if it's that late in the day to start a new discipline and learn something new. I don't see, you know, if you're looking at the spring festivals, he's going to be taking on horses half his age. Which I think, you know, is very difficult to turn the clock back with horses. I just think for a horse who's had such a fantastic career, and he has 2 Cheltenham wins, numerous grade one wins, doesn't know connections anything. You know, he had a bad fall at Christmas last year in a hurdle race. I just think it comes with risks, and I just wonder what the upside is, you know, for an 11/12-year-old starting chasing and what he can really do. It's a big question to ask him, and you know, I would have been happy if, you know, to read an article when, you know, Racing Post saying, oh, you know, he's had a great career, you know, we're gonna draw up stumps with him. But they're going down this chase route. I hope it works out for them, of course. But would I be interested in backing him for anything big next year, next spring? No, not really. Just hope he can hold his head up, and you know, if he pinches an odd race, fair enough. But what would it really add to his CV? It's already fantastic, yeah. You know, as it is now.
Yeah, it's a sort of curious approach that Willie Mullins has taken, isn't it? It's almost like we know he's not going to be the force that he was, but we're going to try anyway. I mean, playing devil's advocate, I guess you could say, well, he's happy. He clearly enjoyed racing, and he is.
He did
hopefully
make one terrible mistake, of course, but
yeah.
And he's taken on inferior horses here, so he's able. But I fear if they pitch him into a Grade One or a graded race, obviously
more pressure on him.
Mm. We will put a bit more pressure on him, and you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm going a bit soft, but I it's not something I kind of relished him going over fences.
Yeah, I'm sure you won't be the only one. Tom, what do you think to the whole episode?
He's going to be a new dad, isn't he? So he's gone all soft in his old age, isn't he? Look, he's a 12-year-old. He's been a brilliant horse, absolutely fantastic. What do you do with a horse like that? He's still enjoying his work. He's not going to win top hurdles, probably, is he? I hope they don't go too hard too soon, like Watsy says. I hope they don't throw him into the 3-miler at at Leopardstown straight away. But look, it's Willie Mullins. He's a genius trainer, isn't he? He knows what he's doing. He knows the horse inside out. Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. Yeah. Great to see him win, whatever. It was great to see him win, wasn't it?
Yeah. And on that note, we might as well pair in Duvan here, who won the Clonmel Oil on Thursday. Again, wasn't without a couple of mistakes, but he looks very, very good now again, Tom, doesn't he?
Oh, he's a superb horse, him, isn't he? I think if he'd been at his peak and him and Altior at their peak, I think we'd have had, you know, we'd have been talking about races for the ages. Really, really do. It's just such a shame he's not as tough as Altior and has his injury problems. But yeah, he was back, wasn't he? I mean, who knows how high these horses can get once they've been injured and come back. But
are they not betting propositions for you?
They are, if the price is right. If he turns up in a King George at 14-1, then yeah. Mm. Yeah, I don't see any reason why not. He's too good a horse. We know that for them. I mean, he'll never be 14-1, will he? Of course he won't, because it's Duvan. But if the price is right, then these horses are betting propositions for me. Yeah, I think sometimes we can get a little bit ageist and injuryist, if that's a word, about these horses. You know what I mean? They can come back. You know, these horses are standing training, aren't they? You know, they're at Willie Mullins' yard. You know, they're not sitting around there just eating hay. They're getting fit, ready, and, you know, aggressive to run in horse races. And
they're clearly enjoying it.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. They love it. They absolutely love it. So, yeah, both of them could be betting propositions if the price was right. Of course they could, because they're brilliant racehorses, and it's great to see them.
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, just pure joy watching Fahim Fly the Last and Duvan coming home in front as well. Binners, just update us on where they could head at Cheltenham or indeed anywhere else.
Well, it's good to see Nick Watts not sitting on the fence. It'll be fairly amusing to play back his interview if Fahim steams up Prestbury Hill in March. We make him 16 from 33 for the JLT, and obviously his chase. And Duvan, as you say, lovely performance at Clonmel. We made him 12-1 from 33-1 for the Ryanair chase. Immediately afterwards, that price was too big, and he's now 10-1 for the Ryanair.
Fabulous. Now, what did we learn about the champion hurdle picture in the Morgiana Watts? He won by Saudi. Many people anticipating Classical Dream to go and win, but he just sort of blew up and looked a chaser in the making, to my eye.
Yeah, no, it was a really fascinating race, because I'm not privy to any kind of information from Willie Mullins' yard, but there was a few whispers around in the summer that Saldier might be one for this season to come to the fore. You know, obviously he had that run against Espoir d'Alene last season when he was upsides, when he fell, and obviously had quite a bad knock that day. I think he broke his nose, according to Willie Mullins, had to have a lot of time off. But if you take Espoir d'Alene as the pick of the crop last season, unfortunately, he's obviously not around now, but, you know, he won the champion hurdle in great style. So Saldier, for me, was always an interesting horse on Saturday. What we don't know is the relative fitness of both of them. Saldier against Classical Dream, what Willie Mullins has left to work on with the pair of them, was one, arguably a bit more fitter than the other. How they both summered, we don't have that kind of information, so people who would have been disappointed with Classical Dream maybe not winning shouldn't tear up the tickets just yet, because there might be a huge amount to come from him. Whereas Saldier, you know, he could have been more ready. I don't know. I was very impressed with the burst he showed to get to the front. He kind of idled once he got there and didn't win as convincingly as maybe looked likely. But I do think he's a player in the champion hurdle. The only thing, you know, you can regret now is, you know, if you haven't taken a price already, he's favourite for the race already, I think, in a lot of books. And, you know, there's not much scope for his price to change much between now and then. If anything, it might go outwards if you know, last Saturday was a false dawn. So if you've missed out already, then I wouldn't be tempted to go in now, where we're now in November, on a 5-1 shot, you know, running next March, especially with his history. We've hardly seen anything of him, for one thing. So not a punting proposition for me, but is he a player? Yes, on that evidence, I think he is.
Yeah, to me, he's a massive player, Tom. I mean, we have to be cautious, I guess, with Classical Dream and his fitness. But I think that pinnacle moment was when he sort of sped past both him and Petit Mouchoir. And it'd be interesting to see how he does next.
Absolutely. I think the prices tell, you know, Classical Dream was 5-2 on and Saldier was 7-1. I can't believe he wasn't somewhere near ready, Classical Dream. because there's just no, you know, the word would have been out, wouldn't it, that they fancied one more than the other, and it clearly they fancied Classical Dream, the Mullins Yard, didn't they, judging by the prices, has to have been the case. One thing I would say is that when you have horses coming back from a long absence like Saldier does, I often think the first time's the time to get them. Trainers aren't going to leave them short first time up, risking injury again. You know, if you're not fit and you go into a hard, tough race first time up, not fit, it's a recipe for disaster for me. So I'm pretty sure he would have been very, very ready for that, Saldier. He's a player, isn't he? The thing about the Champion Hurdle, and we're going to say it 50 times until we get to the race, is that it's not a very good race, is it? You've got Bouverdere still the favourite. He's a great horse, lovely Bouverdere. We all love him, fantastic. But you're struggling to find, now Classical Dream has sort of had his bubble burst, a really bona fide, you know, horse to take him on, aren't you? So we're going to, all these horses have chances. It's their first run of the season. I think we can get too sort of dogmatic about, you know, how what these horses do on their first run of the season. You know, if you've ever seen me go for my first run of a season after Christmas, my God, I'm not very good after 20 runs, but my first run of the season, I'm absolutely hopeless. So I don't know, you give them all another chance. I certainly wouldn't give up on Classical Dream. Saldier's put himself in there. Would I back either at 6-1 now? No, I wouldn't, because I think there's going to be, something's going to come out the woodwork. I'm a Coeur Sublime fan myself, if anyone wants to know. I think he's going to be a really good horse this year, but there's something will come out of the woodwork, and it could be one of the novices, couldn't it? You could see Envoy Allen or something like that, or a, you know, taking in the Champion Hurdle because of the, you just could, because of the lack of proper, you know, the mountain, the, you know, proper 2 mile hurdlers. So would I back those two at the current prices? No, but I'm quite happy to see one of them win. In fact, you know, no problems.
Okay, we do need to get a move on because we do have some two great contests this weekend to look at. But Binners, quick, just reminder on the Champion Hurdle market now.
Yeah, all change at the top end, Maddie. Saldier of some shrewdies have backed that one at 33-1 and 20-1. The prices Nick mentioned, the huge prices. He now shares favouritism with Bouverdere at 4-1. Classical Dream was the 3-1 favourite, and he's now 5-1. So Saldier and Classical Dream have flip-flopped as a result of this weekend.
Okay. Also on Saturday, I do want to mention him quickly because I was actually really impressed by him, and that was Notebook. Winning under Rachel Blackmore Watsey. I thought he just jumped superbly, and I can't believe he's 25-1 for the Arkle. I know he sort of looks maybe a bit more of a stayer, but any horse who jumps that well, I think he's going to put others under pressure. And I need to take a bit of that 25s, I think. What did you reckon?
Yeah, no, very impressed. I would say, I think we alluded to it earlier, that Arkle is a bit of a murky picture at the moment with, you know, the two British ones being beaten on Sunday by a horse, put the kettle on, you'd struggle to see maybe winning an Arkle. If there's one I could throw in there that didn't actually run at the weekend but ran a few weeks ago, I think Thomas Darby is still interesting because I took quite a lot from his chase debut at Warwick.
Okay.
He's taken on race fit horse of Harry Skelton's and jumped pretty well. And I think there's a huge amount more to come from him. And just briefly on the weekend, Yanworth, Ender Bulger.
He's on my list, yeah.
We're talking about legends, you know, Willie Mullins. How on earth has he convinced Yanworth to go over those big banks and that kind of thing and show his best form? And he was a horse, he was a bit of an enigma at the end of his days with Alan King. And I thought Ender Bulger and Yanworth in cross-country chases, I thought if you can work the Oracle with him, then, you know,
serious training performance.
He should be knighted or whatever, you know, he deserves all the awards going because, you know, amazing to get him back. And yeah, he's probably a player in the cross-country division.
Yeah, he's certainly got that class edger. Tom, I mean, Battle Over Doyen's the only one that we haven't covered from Ireland left on my list, including Yanworth and Notebook. What did you take out of those three performances?
Interesting, the sort of reaction to Battle Over Doyen. I think people were expecting a little bit more from him, and I could see that. But I think he's a fantastic jumper.
Yeah,
I really do think. I think, you know, in time he'd be a national horse if he ever, you know. But he's probably a bit too good for that. But he's an absolute brilliant jumper. Whether he can run fast enough is the problem for me, because he sort of didn't. You know, he sort of looked a bit slow, didn't he, on occasions on Sunday. But he's a brilliant jumper, and I don't think we should be underestimating the form. He beat a very experienced Cheltenham Festival winner in any second now, who's rated, what, 150? 150. You're beating him, you know, five lengths on your second ever chase start. It's not a bad effort, is it? you know, if you look at it in those terms, while we're all expecting him to come out and sort of do a champ and look like a superstar, he did what was required. And you know, he's a really good horse. I'm looking forward to the battles, those two, Champ and Battle Over Doyen, as the season progresses.
Yeah, a list of horses that were beaten in that Florida Pearl. I nicked this from the preview, but quite impressive. Don Cossack, Presenting Percy, Shattered Love, Disco, Blow by Blow, Very Wood, all grade one winners that were beaten in that race. So he's clearly done well to win it for whatever reason. And again, just back to you, Binners, for a quick update on those prices for the future.
Well, Maddie, Notebook, 25-1, that one for the Arkle, that price is likely to contract now that people know that you're quite a big fan. In the cross-country chase, Yanworth has shot towards the head of the market. Tiger Roll still heads it at 2-1, but Yanworth is 6-1 from 20-1. Well done to Ender Bulger. And Battle Over Doyen, very exciting customer. That one is 8-1 from 12-1 for the RSA chase.
Thanks very much, Binners. We will take a quick break now before looking at Ascot and Haydock on Saturday.
What's my horse's handicap? The fact that you're bucking him? Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to this Monday postcast, and what a weekend we have in store. Can't wait. We've got Altior V Surname at Ascot in the Christie 1965 Chase. That's the Grade 2 over 2.5 mile and the Betfair Chase 2. But let's talk about the first one I mentioned first. And this clash has been built up for some time, Watsy. I mean, Surname, obviously, he's technically the top-rated horse in the race, but Altior's been a champion for many, many seasons now. And stepping up in trip, this is the clash we all want to see.
Oh, we certainly do want to see it, yeah. I hope they both, you know, stand their ground and we're waking up on Saturday morning, you know, licking our lips at what should be a fantastic clash. As to who's going to win it, I think my marginal preference would go to Surname at the moment, especially around Ascot. I remember a performance Altior put in last season. I think it was in the Clarence House where he jumped way out to his left and he had nothing to beat. So, of course, he won the race. He always does. But he didn't look particularly impressive in doing so. There didn't seem to be any kind of reason why he would jump like that. There was nothing physical uncovered and he went on and won the champion chase. Again, albeit not that impressively. I don't know, it's such a strange thing to say about a horse that's just won 19 races in a row and, you know, tackled everything put in his path and won it. But I don't know, I think this might be a tricky season for Altior. I think over 2 miles, we mentioned Defi Desai earlier, the young pretenders coming through. Will he stay 3 miles? Is he a true 3-miler? We don't know that. Might not know that until Boxing Day. It's a tough ask. You know, he's rising 10 next year. Surname is the coming force. He's got the form around Ascot. He looked so impressive. You know, I know he got beaten, I think, last season in a handicap off 150 at Ascot. But then, you know, in his subsequent runs, he's just turned that inside out and he's just grown and become a different kind of horse. And you just wonder as well with Nicky Henson's, some of them this season. You look at Santini on his return this season, very unimpressive winning at Sandown. Fuzil Raffles didn't set the world alight when he came back at Wincanton, although, albeit they did win. So maybe a few of them are just coming on for a run a little bit. I think I'm with Surname on this occasion. Altior could easily prove me wrong and make it 20. But I'm going to stick my neck out and I'm going to say Surname for me.
I'm going to agree with you. I think if this race was in any other conditions, you'd probably be going for Altior. But Surname just seems to be incredible, a real force of nature around this sort of 2.5 mile trip around Ascot. And yeah, I think Altior could be vulnerable. I was at a panel in the week and I know Paul Keeley agrees. Quite a few people agree that this year could be quite tough for Altior, but I'm sure he could well prove us all wrong. Tom, which side of the fence are you on?
I see the Surname argument, definitely. My take on this race is slightly different in that I think Altior's superb fresh. I think he's at his best fresh. I think quite a lot of the time, first time out this season, he looks spectacular. I agree with Watsy. I don't think he was anywhere near his best last season. I think there was something up with him personally. I agree with him that he jumped out to his horses. Don't do that have never done that before unless they're feeling something. I think he could bounce back to his very best this year and be the super horse that that we know he is. My issue with Surname, he's never won first time out any season. He's running bad races.
And like Watsy said, although Nicky Henderson's are coming on for the run, so are Paul Nichols.
Well, that's right. And the only thing you'd say about Surname is that first run for Paul Nichols, he was fifth of eight at Ascot. Then he had 9-2 break, was 6th of 16 to Air Horse 1. Then he went to Chepstow, start of the next season, 7th of 12. You know, last season he was 3rd of 5 to Mr. Whittaker up at Carlisle. He doesn't have a great record fresh. He looks like, to me, the type of horse that sort of gets runs himself into fitness. Now, this is obviously a big race, but it's only a grade 2. It's not like we're sitting here saying this is the be-all and end-all for these horses' seasons. Mm. And I personally slightly prefer Altior.
Okay.
For the race on Saturday, just simply, I think he'll be more ready for it.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting point, because I know Paul Keighley, again, he sort of said to me the other day, in fact, you know, if both these trainers were doing their job, neither horse is going to be 100% fit, are they? Mm-hmm. Bearing in mind the season ahead. So I guess that is quite interesting with fitness.
The only thing you'd say about Altior is he never loses, does he? So it's not, he's a really free going, you know, I've seen videos of him schooling at home and he's like flying.
Yeah,
he's absolutely
did look impressive,
flying.
Didn't
he? Yeah, and he's not a type of horse that's ever gonna, for me, sit there and say, "Oh, he blew up" or anything like that. He does. He's too, you know, he's too on his toes all the time. And I think if they make Surname favourite, I'll back Altior. Put it like that.
Yeah. I think a lot of people would. Binners, who is your favourite at the minute?
Well, Maddie, we've just gone over it, and we make Altior the 8-13 favourite. Surname 11-8, some of you popular on him, 16-1 top notch, and it's 33, the Rags, Keeper Hill and Solomon Gray.
Thanks very much, Binners. Now, I just want to, before we move on to the Betfair Chase, revisit this again. And where do you see their sort of seasons ending up, Tom? Altior, do you really think he could be a force over 3 miles?
Yeah.
Gold Cup horse?
Nope. I think he could be a King George horse. Once again, though, I'd prefer him the other way around, left-handed. I think right-handed, he's not, just tends to jump a little bit out to his left, but I do think he can be a King George horse. Lots of horses from 2 miles. Edge of Don Bleu won it, Desert Orchid won it. Lots of horses going up from 2 miles have won the King George. He's definitely going to stay 2.5 miles, isn't it? We've seen that. And, you know, he's such a strong finisher in every race he's ever run in that I can't see that being an issue. I think he's got a great chance of winning the King George. I don't think he's a Cheltenham Gold Cup. Totally different kettle of fish, isn't it? 3.25 miles round there. Big slog, isn't it? It always goes to it's always a strong staying test. I don't think he'll run in the Gold Cup. I really don't. I think he'll end up back in the Champion Chase probably. But King George, I could see him. I could definitely see him winning that.
And what about Surname?
Well, I think he's got to go right-handed, hasn't he? So I think we're looking at the same sort of races that he'll run in that Grade One at Ascot, when the race he won last year. He'll probably win that. I think he's got to go for the King George, whatever happens on Saturday, going to Kempton. And then I think he'll end up at Punchestown, because I don't think he's going to win round Cheltenham.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. Anything to add before we move on?
No. Tom summed it up perfectly. So, yeah.
Okay, brilliant. We're all happy families today, isn't it? It's fondness makes the heart grow stronger and all that. Absence makes the heart grow stronger. I'm very tired today. You'll have to excuse me. We'll move on to the Betfair Chase, as I said. And Bristol Demai, he's going for his hat trick. He's absolutely mustard around Haydock, isn't he? We got Lost in Translation. Frodon Altior is interestingly still in there, I'm told. Ballyoptic and Elegant Escape making up that field. Tom, I mean, it's a funny race, this, isn't it? Because it's a very set of sort of specialist skills needed, and Bristol Demai clearly has them first time out.
If Lost in Translation can beat Bristol Demai on soft ground around Haydock, then that's something, and he is something special, because no other horse has been able to do it, have they? I mean, he seems to win this race by absolutely miles every season. Just something about Haydock and him. It's crazy, isn't it? Because he's just clearly nowhere as good anywhere else. I mean,
well, there's been a lot of multiple winners of this race, hasn't there?
Yeah, they have. And it's very much a specialist track. I mean, I get in trouble when talking about Bristol Demai, because we always say, oh, he's better at Haydock than everywhere else. The truth, you know, he came third in the Gold Cup. Let's not muck about. He's an absolutely brilliant horse at lots of tracks. He's just better at Haydock than he is elsewhere. And I think that just the nature of the track suits him perfectly. He's beaten, you know, Gold Cup winners round there. He's, you know, if Lost in Translation can beat him round there, then he really will be a Gold Cup, you know, the horse that you, Maddie, keep telling everyone he is. I love him. I think he's really good. Lost in Translation jumps brilliantly. I think, you know, if he can, he's had a run, which is a help, hasn't he? Bristol Demai hasn't had a run this season. Often he goes to Haydock with a run. He hasn't had one this season. So there is a chance, you know. Bristol Demai's not going to be improving, is he? We know where he stands with him, but his form around Haydock's really, really good. I mean, he's almost, you know, he's right up there with the best chasers in the country around Haydock. And if Lost in Translation can beat him there, then Well, he is something special.
And do you think it's between those two? Yeah, okay, interesting. Yeah. I mean, I've said it before, and we've all heard me talk about Lost in Translation for far too long, but I still wonder if he's necessarily the one for a slog if the Gold Cup was that way. And even this race, I think he's almost too good for those sort of really, you know, brutal races. But I'm definitely looking forward to seeing him, Watsy. I mean, who would you be backing in this?
Well, you've actually hit the nail on the head there, Maddie, in terms of the weather. And you've got to have an important look at that this week, because I think the ground is soft at the moment. I'd look at the...
It's always blooming soft at Haydock, isn't it?
Well, you say that, but I looked at the long-range forecast for this week and I couldn't see any rain over Haydock. Oh, really? So maybe it won't be too bad. If it goes good to soft, I completely agree with you that that brings Lost in Translation's class into play. Whereas if it went really, really testing, we know that that suits Bristol Domain perfectly, and it might blunt a horse like Lost in Translation on what will be his stiffest task that he's ever faced in his life. You know, this is different from running around Carlisle and beating Count Mirabel, who was well beaten in the Big Handy Cap in the Bet Victor last weekend. You know, this is top-notch horses. It's a home game for Bristol Domain. We know that he loves it there. And so it's a real acid test for Lost in Translation. And this is, you know, he's in with the big boys now, and he's got to prove he can swim. And I think the better the ground, the more chance it gives him of doing that, because it will level up the playing field a little bit. Whereas the softer it goes, the more it massively favours Bristol Domain. So I'd keep a very, very close eye on the weather forecast, see how the ground's riding. Mm. And I wouldn't make a decision until quite late, and I'd be happy with that. And the softer the ground goes, it's Bristol all day for me.
Yep.
The nearer it goes to good to soft, if it goes even... You know, if it goes that far, then it's very, very close between him and Lost in Translation. Might even favour the Tizard horse under those circumstances.
Yeah. Very interesting point there. Then before we sort of get Binners' prices, Tom, I mean, I know you see it between these two, but Frodon, Ballyoptic, Elegant Escape, we're going to presume Altior isn't turning up, obviously. I mean, where do you see their sort of seasons going as well? I mean, it's worth mentioning them. Ballyoptic's look pretty progressive. He won the Charlie Hall last time out. Elegant Escape behind him ran a big race, but they're probably just below the top two, aren't they?
I think Elegant Escape definitely is. I don't think he quite jumps well enough to win in these grade one races. He always makes a mistake, doesn't he, somewhere? I think another crack at the Welsh Nationals probably for him. Frodon's a really interesting... angle to the race, isn't it? Because
I was about to ask you whether you think he's going to stay this trip, but of course he's won a Cotswold Chase.
Yeah, I think he stays the trip. It's not very testing track, Haydock, is it? After all, it's a bit of a, you know, it's not like it used to be. I mean, obviously the ground makes it very testing, but the actual formation of the track isn't that stiff. It brings him into it. He's obviously had the run. It will come on from that. I was a little bit disappointed. I know the fences were out at entry, but he was beaten a long way, wasn't he? He was beaten a long way. He'll have to come on a lot for that. Ballyoptic, I think, is the fly in the ointment, because he keeps doing it this season, doesn't he? Twice he's done it now. He was no fluke about it last time. There's good horses in behind him. Aso ties in closely with Frodon. Problem is he going to run? Are they going to run both? I mean, Watsy, you're from that neck of the woods, aren't you? Down there, what's the word on the street? Yeah, when you're down,
I can only say what I heard. I'm pretty certain that after the Charlie Hall, Nigel Twiston Davies said that he would run Ballyoptic because there's pretty much nowhere else he can go. I think he's 159 now, and as Tom said, he's not without interest. You could see him. You know, worse horses than him have been placed in the Gold Cup. And he's that kind of horse. He's a dour stayer. And
he is, isn't he?
He just needed to sort his jumping out a little bit. You know, he fell a couple of times last season. But, I mean, he's got a lot of class. He stays very well. He's second in the Scottish National. And, you know, let's not forget, you know, a couple of seasons ago in the RSA, I think he finished fourth. He was only about a length and a half off Elegant Escape that day. Wouldn't have finished far behind Albion Photo. So
he won a grade one hurdle as well, didn't he? He beat Belzilla Entry. He's a really good horse.
He does have back class, definitely.
He definitely does. And he would have been placed in the Grand National last year, I think. I mean, it was four out when he fell, but he was still going fine. And he was, you know, he wouldn't have beaten Tiger Roll, but I wouldn't be surprised if he'd been second in a Grand National as well, Ballyoptic. He's a proper horse.
For me, he's one of those who I think he'd almost run through a brick wall for you. He's almost a little bit ignorant in that he'd just keep going and going and going. That's what you want out of these horses. No disrespect to him. I'm not saying he's sort of an unintelligent horse, but he's really rock solid, isn't he? So it'd be interesting to see how he gets on. Binners, just run us through those prices before we take a break.
Well, Bristol Domain to do it again, Maddie. That one's an even money favourite. And it's 15-8 Lost in Translation. A brilliant, brilliant jumper. 6-1 Frodon, 7 Altior, 12 Bally Optic, and 14-1 the outside of the field, Elegant Escape.
Thanks, Binners. Haven't we got a treat in store this weekend? Aren't we lucky to have it to look forward to? Let's take a quick break now, as I mentioned, before we look at the racing this week.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. Finding pastel de natas in a London cafe? Special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power Games? Not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators, available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to this Monday postcast then. Although we have great action on Saturday, it's pretty good before we get there. We've got Footpad hopefully running at Thurles and good racing also on Friday at Ascot before that big 1965 chase. And Watsey, you're a big Hexham fan and they've got a 4-miler. I've been told this is your area of expertise.
Yeah, I've been told I've got to find the winner of the Hexham 4-miler.
Why? Where's this come from?
I don't know. I think it's because during the Cheltenham Festival, Hexham always have a low-grade meeting up there and they have a 4-miler, and those kind of races just appeal to me for some reason. I don't know why. I've got a lot of patience, so I can sit there for 10 minutes, quarter of an hour, have a cup of tea and watch it as it slowly unfolds, and a bit like a game of chess, I suppose, isn't it? And
patience of a saint. Right, who's your next best then?
Well, I was going to give my nap in the 4-miler, so my next best is actually at Ascot on Friday, 3:15, Rikers Island, also Philip Hobbs's, has to go right-handed. Had a recent blowout at Exeter, finished fourth in a handicap there, dropped £2 for that. And he looked really good at times last season. He would have won a big race at Newbury, but he jumped out to his right at the last and got beaten. And it's clear that you can't go that way around. So he's interesting at Ascot on Friday for me, for the NB.
Brilliant. Nice. Like it. Philip Hobbs, as you mentioned, in great form, isn't he? Binners, who's your next best?
Well, I'm going to go to Kempton on Tuesday, Maddie. The 3:20, it's the over a mile and three. It's the London Middle Distance Series final. I'm going to go for a horse of Dave Simcox called Kitabat. The pronunciation police
Kitabat.
Can have a good go. Kitabat, there you go. The pronunciation police can come out in force again this week. Anyway, this horse goes well on the all-weather. He's had a win and two-thirds in three starts. I thought Jim Crowley gave him a lovely ride last time, really patient, took the race on the line. He's only gone up a couple of pounds for that, and I think he can strike again.
Brilliant, Binners. We won't mention Andy Dufresne again this week. Tom, who's your next best?
Alan King's Precepts in the 1:45 at Wincanton, whenever that is. Is that Thursday?
List. Yes, Thursday.
I thought he ran a really, really good race in the... What's that race called now? It used to be called the Fred Winter. I can't remember. I'm getting old.
Boodles.
The Boodles Hurdle. It? That's it. So it was in front, jumping the last. Can't be in the front, jumping the last in that race. You know, they always come at you like kamikazes from the back there. And he did too much too soon. I think he's definitely got a race like this in him. And I thought after his warm-up run, he'll run well at Wincanton this week, if that's where he goes.
Brilliant. We'll get the naps now.
This will not be beaten.
The question we're all asking is who wins the 4-miler at Hexham on Wednesday?
Yeah, I couldn't believe, first of all, that you've never seen the Shawshank Redemption. That's crazy.
He's bad.
You've got to sit down with Dave one night, have a nice romantic night in with a glass of wine and some popcorn and sit down and watch the Shawshank Redemption. It's fantastic.
I need about 3 bottles. It lasts about 4 hours.
It's a long one, but it's a good one.
I'll either be asleep or off my face if I go through 3 bottles of wine, as you know. Anyway, what's he?
But back to the 4-miler. Yeah, there's a horse of Sandy Thompson's called Hastrubel, who we got from Henry Daly. And Henry Daly only ever seems to train stayers, really. And he's had a wind up. Second last time at Kelso was a good run, and I think he'll love the trip. So Hastrubel for Sandy Thompson in the 4-miler at Hexham.
Love it. That's on Wednesday, as I say. Binners, who's your nap this week? Has the Curra-Cundra got anything? Or Max McNeil, who is it this time around?
No, neither of those two this week, but nothing for the Curra-Cundra. 6:10 at Kempton on Wednesday, Maddie. A mile listed race. A few interesting horses in there, including Queen Anne winner, Accidental Agent for Eve Johnson Horton. But I'm going for Dean Ivory's Le Breeze of Breeze. Now, he's still pretty good on the flat. He was second in the Group 2 Hungerford Stakes in August, which is good form over 7 furlongs. But he's been absolutely deadly during his career on the all-weather. He's had 4 starts, 3 wins, 1 second, and that second was on his racecourse debut, which I'm sure we can forgive him for. So I think he will prevail on Wednesday.
Excellent. Good flat action still. Some really nice horses still out. Labrita Breeze, one of them who'd been as mentioned, and Tom closes the show with a winning nap.
Oh, wish I could. 210 Warwick, Maddie. There's a really, really good novice chase on Wednesday. I suggest you set the video if you're not watching Shawshank Redemption at the time and watch these horses, because you've got Angel's Breath in there for Nicky Henderson. You've got Mr. Fisher in there for Nicky Henderson. You've got Not That Fouise for Dan Skelton, and you've got Torpillo for Nigel Tiston Davis. It could be a cracker. I like Lisp, Alan King's horse. I like this horse a lot. I thought he was 5th in the county hurdle last year. I think he's going to be a better chaser. Word on the street is he's schooled really well. He's had a run. He had a run out at Ascot and stayed on really well. I think whether he's as good as Angel's Breath and Mr. Fisher in future, I don't know. But I think he's going to be ready for this. And I think he might spring a little bit of a surprise in the 210 at Warwick.
Brilliant. Thanks, Tom, Watsy and Binners, for your time today. Thoroughly enjoyable show, and best luck, everyone, with wherever you're betting this week. The team will be back on Friday to run you through those weekend cards again, so make sure you tune in, and we'll see you soon.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BGambleAware.org.